Yeah, you're very welcome back to Tech Talk. Now, last week I was heading home through the Sandyford Industrial Estate and I saw workers outside a building with blue flags that said CWU. I did a quick Google, obviously enough, and found out that that was the Communications Workers Union, and there was a protest outside a building that is operated by Meta. I was curious to find out what this was all about, so I reached out to John Bowen of the Communications Workers Union, who's with me now. John, can you just set out the stall? What is this dispute in relation to?
It would be easy to try and pin it on one thing, like at the start of the dispute. What really escalated things was a round of over 400 redundancies that were announced just before Christmas, largely impacting Asian language market workers who were doing AI adaptation for the client of Covalent. So these people were being basically kicked out, no support, experiencing precarity with their visas, and offering no enhanced redundancy packages, which would be the norm in the industry. So this kind of was the straw that broke the camel's back and kind of opened up a dispute about pay, conditions, lack of sick leave, lack of redundancy pay, and just a basic lack of respect from the employer towards the workers.
What is Covalent? Look, what is that company? What do they do?
So Covalent is a subsidiary of CPL, which is, you know, quite a large, originally Irish founded outsourcing company. I believe it's now owned by a venture capital fund, having recently been sold earlier in the year. But Covalent is a spin-off of CPL. CPL did some project work throughout the 2000s, like their longest running relationship as a matter of public record is Meta. And there was some like bad press several years ago. And this kind of led to a spin-off of Covalent, which is more kind of more modern looking, a bit more sleek than CPL's kind of branding, that does outsourcing work for big tech and financial companies.
Yeah, so people may be familiar with CPL from a Channel 4 Dispatches documentary that saw undercover reporters or footage come out, particularly in relation to those working in the space of content moderation. We obviously don't want to go into too much detail in relation to the client company, but just explain the types of work that those working for Covalent might do for some of the big tech clients.
Yeah, well, largely it kind of falls into two main categories, and then you have like a large range of support roles. So the bulk of workers will be doing content moderation for social media platforms, or they will be doing something called AI annotation, which is training the AI kind of models for these large companies in order to ensure they give kind of policy compliant and legal compliant responses, accurate responses, and to develop these kind of consumer products.
I don't know if you can answer this, but why does that work fall to third-party contractors rather than in-house workers?
This is probably, you get into down a rabbit hole here about the kind of dark underbelly of the global kind of tech economy, where you have very well-paid and secure roles, though increasingly less so now in full-time employment with the big companies, that are dependent on a huge range of outsourced work that is dirty, is hard, and is often in quite grueling conditions. So it's like you could be looking at really graphic content. As an example, I've talked to people who say they've come from Syria and they're moderating a Middle Eastern market, and they are looking at like quite violent and graphic incidents from the kind of politically charged like nature of the civil war and the post-civil war period in that region. So this is just like, I would say, dangerous work, either in the AI side or in the content moderation side.
Yeah, and I referenced that Dispatches documentary, and we kind of got an insight into the severity of some of the content from the moderation side. So let's go back to this dispute in particular. So you said that there was around 400 job cuts announced pre-Christmas. Was there a reason for those job cuts? What was the rationale there?
So you're going to get the standard boilerplate stuff around business needs and like changes in contracts with clients. Basically, this project is closing down and the workers may be moving elsewhere, but that's not really known to us or to the company itself. They are simply like, that project is no longer with Covalent, and therefore we don't need these 400 staff. Now, I just, at the start, it's worth pointing out that, look, they did by their own admission. Managers use that number to around 300 through redeployment, but it's still like a huge smack in the face for workers, as I said, largely coming from Asian markets who travel from like Vietnam, Thailand, Indonesia to come work in Ireland for these kind of roles.
And just talk us through again the terms of the redundancy or lack thereof that these workers were offered.
There are no terms. It's just the statutory entitlement that people get under Irish legislation, which is 2 weeks pay per year of service, capped at 600 euro. And once they've had 2 years service, that is, project did not run for 2 years. So the vast majority of workers, and what we believe was as a cost saving measure, like targeted at workers with less than 2 years service, received absolutely nothing from the company. But just trying out on their feet to deal with the Dublin rental market, to deal with relocation, to deal with the scramble to get your employment status sorted, all this kind of stuff.
And it's worth noting that while the skill sets are, highly valuable, the job market isn't quite where it was a few years ago for workers of this nature to pick up work immediately elsewhere.
No, I think this is like the kind of story we hear time and time again, and not just in the kind of sphere of like trust and safety more broadly, this kind of content moderation and policy making. But there's a highly competitive and tight job market for people given this like constant round of large scale layoffs. There's a lot of really qualified, really skilled, really talented people out there competing for a shrinking number of jobs. Like just even to put it in perspective, the level of the qualification and education of the vast majority of workers in Covalent is like really high, like higher than you would expect, quote unquote, to see in such low paid work. So the competition is just really intense.
So that you said that the redundancies was one element of this. What has been the interaction between the workers and Covalent? Because I'm assuming this is with Covalent rather than the client company. Is that right?
Yeah, look, we don't have any kind of the dispute with the client company. This is a matter between Covalent, who are the employer of the staff, and their trade union. So they would like to point a lot of time to like, oh, this bad thing has happened because the client says so. We're not even going to go there and get into that kind of minefield. Covalent is the employer of their staff. They need to deal with these issues and treat their staff fairly. And I suppose to that point in engagement, it's the kind of classic piece in the Irish context where our laws around workers' rights and trade union recognition are leagues behind the rest of Europe and indeed even America, where there's no compulsory means to force them to recognise the union of the staff. They can always say this classic HR line, like direct engagement. So they'll say they're doing direct engagement with staff prior to the redundancies, direct engagement through consultation. And the experience of our members is that these points of engagement are a box ticking exercise. They're designed to kind of quell anger, to reduce kind of worker organization, and to basically the carrot incentive to stop people organizing for better. So that's kind of where we've been at so far.
We are joined by one of the workers who has been impacted by this, Ruthia. Ruthia, can you just tell me a little bit about the role that you had and if you are still in that role?
Hi, I was a generative AI annotator. Basically, we train AI model not to give out harmful replies or responses or help to the users. For example, there are a lot of categories that we cover. I might not be able to go into that details, but what's on the news, for example, for the child sexual exploitation or suicide and self-harm. So basically, there are a lot of users who might have kind of bad intentions and coming to use like the chatbot to get responses or how to commit something, So we basically need to train the AI not to be giving those kind of response. So basically, to make the AI ethical and safe for users.
Okay, and are you still in that role?
No, I'm not anymore. I was one of the people who were let go in January.
Can you just talk about the impact that this has had on you in terms of your living situation, your next steps, your visa status, all the rest?
Me and my colleagues who came on the visa basis, we are being thrown under the bus, basically, because we work under 2 years. So by the law, we didn't get any redundancy packages. We try to negotiate to receive some help. Even if it's not in the book or by the book, by the law, we hope that the company would be human enough to help us, because we left our country, our families, our jobs behind to come to Ireland to take on this job. And so some of us has they left already, and we are trying to secure this 6 months grace period to be able to stay in Ireland legally and to seek for another job. And for the living situation, it's really hard because of the rent and everything. We didn't have any help from the company, so we rely on our own savings or what we have left to pay the rent, to buy the plane ticket home.
Are you optimistic that some form of resolution will come and that you can stay and get back to working here in Ireland?
Our first hope, even during the redundancy process, was to get redeployed by the company. Because even if we are now protesting or striking, we hope that the company would listen to us and help us, even the people who were let go. And for now, from what I heard from my colleagues who are still working there, they always say, like, be hopeful, don't lose hope. Because sometimes this kind of redundancy happened in the company, and within a few weeks or a few months, they call people back to work, because if they have a new project. But during the redundancy process, some told me that this time was different because of the business need. You know? But I'm just hopeful also, either at Covalent or another company, but we know that the work permit thing is really hard. Like when I'm trying to apply for a job, there will be a screening page and they will ask you, do you need the visa help now or in the future? And I kind of feel that that basically screen us out, you know, so it's kind of a little bit, no, the bipolar back and forth between hopeless and hopeful. Yes.
Yeah. John, if I can bring you back in here, because it's fascinating hearing Ruthia talk about the work that she was doing, particularly in the context of the news stories that the whole country have been talking about over the last number of weeks. And again, we won't get into it in great detail, but there have been calls for more to be done to make social platforms safer, to make AI safer. And yet we have skilled workers doing this job and now being essentially cut loose with no real safety net. Surely it makes sense for something to be done, not only to give workers better rights, but also address this issue whereby we have people who've come to this country to do this work and now they're being forced to leave.
Yeah, 100%. I think this is a matter of like public safety, of community safety, of protecting families, protecting young people on the internet. I think the recent stories you mentioned really highlight that. I think for us as a trade union, we're trying to bring together more of the kind of trust and safety moderation workforce to have workers' voices front and centre in that debate. Because in my view, it's a little bit too abstract at the moment with kind of, you know, the EU should do this and the state should do this. And like, yes, those things are true. We need greater levels of action and protection. But fundamentally, it's workers that do the moderation work, that do the training of the AI. And unless we impose either restrictions on how and where these companies can move and displace labour, or give the workers greater rights to bargain that themselves, the companies will just seek less and less accountability and move their workforces elsewhere where there's less regulation, or reduce the rights and treatment of the workforce they have here. And we're seeing that not just in Covalent, but in companies like Accenture, TikTok, and beyond, where trust and safety moderation staff and policymakers are just getting the short end of the stick in this like drive for more profitable kind of algorithmic kind of content.
Well, look, we will keep in touch with you, if that's okay, and we will check in to see what comes of the meeting that's taking place on Saturday the 31st, and hopefully some form of resolution comes, not only in this particular instance, but to give workers in this sector and in these very difficult jobs greater supports and conditions going forward. John and Ruthia, thank you so much for joining me here on News Talk.
Thank you so much, Jess.
Yeah, that was John Bowen of the Communications Workers Union and a former tech worker, Ruthia, speaking to me a little bit earlier this week. I did reach out to Covalent for a statement, and it says, Covalent continues to maintain open and direct engagement with our employees. We've always respected and will continue to respect the right of employees to take lawful industrial action, and we have been proactively consulting with our teams. Regarding the recent jobs which were affected, Covalent worked hard on its redeployment programme and successfully redeployed a significant number of employees, 136. In the meantime, the company will continue to engage with our teams, and our commitment to direct and meaningful dialogue remains unchanged. We will keep in touch with the workers and indeed with the Communications Workers Union and bring you updates over the next few weeks here on Tech Talk. Right, when we come back, I'll answer your tech questions.